All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio. Welcome to the Veterans Radio inaugural premiere podcast presentation. There I was, coming to you from VFW Post 423. That's right, VFW Post 423 in beautiful Ann Arbor, Michigan. And now, your host for tonight, Slicks pilot, 195th Sky Chief Dale Thronberry. Ah, yes.
All right.
Take it, Dale.
I got it. All right. Thank you. Thank you all for coming. This is a really special evening for all of us that came up with this idea for There I Was. The idea came from a program that I had heard about in Washington, D.C. That's called ASAP. And it was for veterans who are suffering from post-traumatic stress, other mental issues, emotional issues, and so forth. And what they wanted to do was they came up with a program where they would sit down and they would actually write out a comedy routine based on their experiences in the service. And so they had to write a 5-minute stand-up act. And they would take weeks and weeks to do this. And once they were finished, they had to perform it at a comedy club in Washington, D.C., which I thought was kind of cool. But knowing many of the people that I do around here, I didn't think we would be able to go to a comedy club and tell our stories. I thought it would be really fun to just tell our stories, because many times we've told our stories to our families, and that's about it. And they don't want to hear it again, and most of our friends don't want to hear them again. But most of us have not heard all of these stories. So all we decided to do, along with Larry St. Antoine and Scott Brooksmiller, he's got so many names. Anyway, unfortunately, Scott is not able to be here tonight because he had an emergency gallbladder removal. And, you know, some people will get out of any, do anything to get out of public speaking. But so we just kind of put this idea together to bring together veterans from all over the county, men, women, all generations. We were hoping to get people from Korea all the way up through Afghanistan, Iraq. That's what we want to get to, where people can tell these stories. So today, or tonight's program, is going to be about how did you get into the service? Were you drafted? Were you enlisted? Or was it other? And the audience that we have here tonight, probably there are a few others in there. But you know, back in the day, as they used to say, or they say now because we're old, is that if you got in trouble with the local police, that the judge would offer you the option of going to juvenile hall or prison or enlisting. And many people decided to take the enlisting part of it, which is kind of crazy, but anyhow. So what I wanted to start off with basically is to tell you a little bit about my story, give you a little example of what happened with me. And on July 16th of 1967, I got a letter from the President of the United States saying, come on down and take a physical. And I said, I don't need a physical. No. And it didn't work, and I did everything I could to avoid it. I had a football injury, and I banged my knee so it would swell up, and it didn't swell up. And so I go down to Newark, New Jersey, which is sort of like Detroit, only worse in some cases. And there I was with 500 of my closest friends walking around in our underwear with a little folder, and people are looking in parts of you that nobody's ever looked at before or since. And at the end of this whole traumatic event, I felt like I was sitting on the end of the bench in Alice's restaurant, and you know, with this guy who's, I don't know what he had taken, but he was just flying all around the building the whole time I was there. The doctor comes out and he says, comes up to me and gives me the stamp and goes, boom, he says, you pass. I go, now what am I going to do? And I said, how long have I got? And he says, 6 weeks. He says, we'll get you in 6 weeks. And so I immediately ran down to the recruiters. No offense to anybody in our audience that was in the infantry, but it was not my ideal location I wanted to be in if I was going to have to be in a war. Now, I have to remind people that my father was in World War II, so I had been taught, you know, that if you're called, you go, and so forth. And I said, okay, I'll do that. So I went down, and the Navy had a six-month waiting period. That didn't work. The Air Force had a six-month waiting period because I figured, 25 miles offshore or 25 miles up, that's good, right? The Marines, they said I could go that day again because I could be a lieutenant. And I liked their uniforms, but the idea was, I said, well, no, I really can't because I have a date tonight, and left. And then I went down to the Army guy, and he said, how'd you like to be a pilot? And I said, ooh, of what? And he said, helicopters. And I went, I've seen one of those. Sure, why not? Do I have to take a test? And so forth. He says, yeah, you have to take this aptitude test. So I go in and I take the aptitude test. And basically the aptitude test was a lot of math stuff, which I was okay on. And then they had this book, which they still use. I was talking to a current helicopter pilot. And inside the book are these pictures of looking outside the cockpit window. And they want to know if you're going up, down, an ascending turn to the left, an ascending turn to the right, so on and so forth. And so you're picking up, you pick up the book because you got to do this. You got to go, oh, okay, so I'm looking at a moving and I'm going, and of course the guy in the back of the room goes, like he got thrown out. But so I passed. Yay! So now I have to go to Fort Polk, Louisiana. Well, Fort Polk, Louisiana was the birthplace of the combat infantry man for Vietnam. Some of you probably did AIT there and all that other stuff. And this big sign is actually there. And I said, well, I think there's a mistake. And they said, no, everybody goes to Tigerland. And that's when the first time I ever heard the growl. So I had to fly down to Fort Polk. When my mother found out that I had to fly on an airplane for the very first time in my life, that I had to wear a suit. I'm going in the Army, Ma, type of thing. I don't care, son, it's a sign of respect, all this other stuff. And I said, I don't think they're going to respect me if I wear a suit, to get into the Army. She says, you're wearing a suit. So I wear this, I have this wool suit, the funeral suit that teenagers have. So I get on the plane, fly down to New Orleans, get off of a real plane, and get on something called Trans-Texas Airlines, which is sort of like Treetop Airlines. And you go from point to point to point. I think we landed six times between New Orleans and Leesville, Louisiana, which is somewhere in northwest Louisiana, if I remember right. Better known as Fleesville after I was there for a while. And so I get off of the airplane and get on a, the first time I get on an Army bus, and then you get off the bus and you get on a truck, and, they kind of moving you around in all types of different kinds of transportation. And I finally get to the company area where I'm supposed to report in. I guess it's part of their induction center. And as I get off the bus, Sergeant Steele, I'll never forget this man in my whole life. He's the biggest guy I've ever seen. And he looked at me getting off the bus with a suit and a tie on. And he tells his friends, he goes, hey, we got a suit. And so the next thing I know is that I am, he likes my suit so much that he wanted to know how I could do push-ups in my suit. So I started my many, many push-ups that we all did in basic training along the lines. And when I was done, he said, I want you to go out in the middle of that parking lot and stand on number 75. There's 300 numbers out in this parking lot. So I go out to number 75 and I find it and I stand there and now what do I do? And he just said, no, just stand there. And then it started to rain. And so my wool suit, I could feel shrinking on me as we're going along. And that's how I got into the service. What a wonderful welcome to the United States Army and Fort Polk, Louisiana. We'll go into basic training next time.
Yeah.
So that's it for that particular story. So that's the idea of what we're looking for, something like that. It doesn't have to be that you have to go through the whole stages, but something that you could take and go off on a tangent about what happened while you were on your way to wherever you were going to be stationed and so forth. And so start thinking about those. All right, we have our first volunteer here. I got the list here. And? And
who is it, Dale?
It is Bob Kurtz. And Bob was in the United States Air Force, and he was a technical sergeant. Wow, what rank is that? What number is that? E6. All right, an E6. So, Bob, why don't you come on up and just tell us your story? Yay!
Well, my name is Bob Kurtz. And during my high school years, things were a little different than the high school years of today, that's for sure. Everybody knew what they had to do to try to avoid going into the Army. Going into the Army was not something I wanted to do. My dad was a World War II Army vet, and he hated the Army. He told us, whatever you do, don't join the Army. So I decided to go to school and get a deferment after I graduated from high school. Of course, I had to take a physical just like everyone else and then let them know that, yes, I am 4F. That meant that at any moment you could go into the Army. Now, my dad, he didn't understand this whole draft. Then the lottery came out when I was at Michigan State. And guys would rather commit suicide than go to Vietnam. So you had to be careful walking around tall buildings. Never knew what was going to be flying through the air. Those were the good old days. Then, if you knew somebody from Canada that also had gotten drafted, yes, he was a Canadian citizen, you could go with him to Canada. His father had a farm. And I know several guys that went there. But I decided that I would take one of the services, pick the best one, of course. It was the Air Force, and I got out of the Army, all right. I stayed in the Air Force for 20 years. I actually enjoyed it. It was like a job, although we were the worst marchers, I have to admit. Air Force marching down the street. Ooh, what a sight. It's embarrassing to even think about it, the parades that I was in. Wow. But getting back to being drafted, when they came out with that lotto number, it would be posted on the front page of every newspaper across the country as to what number they were calling up. Now, I was fortunate I had a fairly high number. But I was unfortunate because I lived in Ann Arbor. And they wanted to take everybody from Ann Arbor right to the number 365. What a disgrace. They even knew I was from Ann Arbor when I got to basic training. It was terrible. Oh, talk about being picked on. Holy crow. Anyway, I survived. 2 weeks into basic training, I got my draft notice for the Army. That's how close I cut that. My dad never understood why I was joining the Air Force. It was at a bad time, but those were bad times. Those were not great times. Nobody liked that war, that conflict, or whatever the hell they call it today. It was terrible knowing that when you turn 18, you were going to be 4F. Yeah, those were the days. I'm glad they're over. I'm glad you only have to sign up for the draft and not actually have one. Yeah, these are good times. And a lot of us sacrificed our time for these today.
Thank you. I feel obligated to change one thing. I think you were talking 1A versus 4F. 4F meant you're out. You didn't have to go in at all. And then you would, if you were a student, you were a 2A, I think is what it was. And then as soon as you left school for any particular reason, man, they had you as 1A right away. And then you'd get the letter. So thank you very much. It was too bad. I know. When I was in Vietnam. Some of us here were in Vietnam in '69 when the drafts, they started pulling the numbers. So we had a draft party, and we, you know, of course, I think my number was number 18 or 19. I go, oh my God, they're going to draft me and send me to Vietnam again, just because. So this is what we're trying to do. Thank you very much, Bob, for being a volunteer to go first. This is what we want. We want to hear your stories. We want to hear what it was like. What made you decide to join the service instead of, you know, making the run for Canada or wherever it was? I think I said this the other day. I got an email from a friend of mine who was in my unit in Vietnam, and he was talking about that he had avoided the draft. And I'm going, how did you avoid? What do you mean you avoided the draft? You were in Vietnam with me. And he goes, no. He says, I avoided the draft because I enlisted, and then they sent me to a foreign country. I said, yeah, but it was the wrong country. He said, still, I'm out of the country, and I didn't get drafted. I said, no. I think he was from Connecticut or something like that. It must have, that would explain a lot of it. But anyhow, all right, so we're going to move right along to our next one. And this one is an Army guy. This is John Kinzinger, and John Kinzinger is in the United States Army, and he was a Spec 4. Or were you a corporal? Specialist Ford, John Kinzinger, yay! Oh, I can do
this. Bring it down to my size. There you go. Belleville High School, 1964, June. I was 17 years old. A month later, I turned 18, started working at Ford Motor Company. I was making more money than my father. I had a new car. I loved chasing women. I had no responsibility. I was living at home. And then Uncle Sam came along and wrecked it all. Here I was, 19 and a half, and I got this letter. I just didn't think they'd want me, you know, but at that time in February of 66, they wanted everybody. Everybody, if you could breathe and walk, you qualified. Didn't matter how tall you were, how much you weighed, they took care of all of that. So here I was, standing over my letter, and my father didn't serve in the military, so I didn't have that behind me. He had been injured when I was a kid and didn't qualify for service in World War II. But I didn't know what I was doing. I sort of was going to school part-time and thinking I would be avoiding it, but, you know, there was only 2 hours sleep a day because I was working and chasing and drinking and all of those things. And Uncle Sam really changed my life for the good. Eventually, it turned out to be for the good. But I shared it with my mother and my dad, and a couple weeks later, there we were down at Fort Wayne. And I look around, and there's seven other classmates with me. So I went in not alone. I had eight of us from Belleville High School were there in basic training. And I can't wait to talk about basic training in a future Wednesday when we do this. But going into the military was just out of my thought process, out of myself. I didn't know what was going to happen, but as long as I had other guys going with me, I just said, well, John Wayne did it. You know, he killed all the Japs, and Audie Murphy got all the Germans. And I do remember as a kid, you know, talking about Audie Murphy and to hell and back and killing them damn Krauts and, you know, all of those expressions about the only good Jap's a dead Jap. And, you know, now I'm in the military, so I guess I'm going to go kill whatever they have over there if that's what I am. So it was a life-changing thing, and I'm honored to have served in our great military. No jokes with me. It was life and the military.
Okay, we're going to continue moving along right here. So we're getting the idea of this whole thing is to talk a little bit about your emotions, how you felt about making that decision, or when you finally got on the bus, or when you finally, you know, somebody dropped you off, or, you know, or kicked you out of the car, or whatever it was. And I know that some of the people that many of us probably went to basic training with, I had a similar incident that John did when I reported to go off to basic training. There were 6 or 7 guys on the same bus with me that I'd gone to high school with that I recognized. Unfortunately, none of them went to Fort Polk. They all went to Fort Dix. I didn't even know where Fort Dix was, but it's in New Jersey, which is just down the street, I guess, from what they said. So moving right along. So we've had Air Force, 2 armies, and now we're going to go to another Army person. And this is Brian Graff. And Brian was in the service from 68 to 71, and he was an E5, made it to E5. So Brian, welcome to There I Was.
Thank you. Thank you, Dale. I was always impressed with my dad's hat. He was a Army Air Corps, flew B-25 bombers. And I said, man, that is great. If I ever have a chance, I want to go to the Air Force. And, you know, Vietnam was always on the news. It was, you know, I was watching it every single night on TV. And I thought, nope, I'm not going to the Air Force because then I'll have to go to Vietnam. So I went to college instead. When I graduated from high school, I was engaged to my high school sweetheart. She had a couple of years yet to go in high school. And we never discussed much about the, you know, Vietnam or the war or anything else. But when I was in high school, and actually I was brought up in a very staunch German Catholic family. My father was a pretty tough guy. And I changed religions because I was engaged to a gal that was Southern Baptist. And I still recall this to this day. If you really want to kill your dad, here's how to do it. I dropped out of college. Well, actually, I came home on a weekend. I said, Dad, I got something to tell you. And he thought I was more nervous then than I was going to Vietnam. I said, Dad, I dropped out of college. I joined the Army, and I changed to Southern Baptist. I'll be back in 4 years. We'll talk about it. Well, I didn't know what to do next, just to back away or get hit or whatever. And I still don't remember the reaction. And the reason why I did that is because when I was in college, many of my college roommates and friends, they were getting drafted. And I wasn't really thinking about the draft at that time, but a lot of people were trying to get deferments, and they would get married, and that didn't help. You know, they tried everything they could to get out of it. And I wasn't really trying to get out of it. I was not drafted, but there was a Army recruiting officer from the 5th Army Division out of Chicago that was a member of our church. And he said, if you want to go in the service, I can keep you from going to Vietnam. I'll get you an MOS that you want to do, right? Wasn't long after that I found out, believe in God, but don't believe in an Army recruiting officer from the 5th Army Division. All he wanted was the numbers. But I still wasn't convinced I'm not going to Vietnam because I had an MOS that he got me into. So I went to Fort Knox. And when I got to Fort Knox, I still remember this day that my dad dropped me off at Fort Wayne. We got on the Greyhound bus and with the box lunch going down to Fort Knox. It's almost like going to CYO camp when I was a kid. got down to Fort Knox, and I was going up to the barracks with my duffel bag over my shoulder, and some guy ran down the stairs, practically knocked me over, and I turned around and looked at his name tag on his shirt, Bastuba. And Bastuba, if you're out there, I'll find you someday. Terry Bastuba, I went to grade school with him. And he said, Gordy Elwood's here too. So the three of us got into so much trouble as grade school brats, so to speak. We just got into everything. I mean, we did a lot of KP, which I really didn't mind because the cook in basic training was the head chef at Sid's on the Seaway, as we used to call it, Sinbad's in Detroit. And anything you wanted to eat, he'd make you. Make you pizza at night or anything else. So that was a pretty good experience. And I'm looking forward to the next one, you know, about Vietnam experiences. If you've read the book we served or we answered the call, I talk more on the lighter side of Vietnam because we try to do that about the lighter side. And we have some funny stories there. But that's how I got into the service. And I told my dad when I got out, I said, you know, the Army doesn't make a man out of you. It shows you what it takes to be a man.
Okay, so we're going to take a little break here for just a moment, and then we'll come back and we're going to draft the other people in the room. You've heard that word draft a few times, right? To come up and tell us their stories. So we want to make sure that you stick around and listen, or this is called There I Was on Veterans Radio.